About time for you and Brother Ray to sing again. Who's singing next week, Brother Marcus? Okay. All right, let's take our Bibles and let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We've been going through the doctrine of creation on Sunday nights, and we're looked at an overview. We looked at before creation, what was the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, doing before creation. We looked at God created, God formed, verses 3 through 13. Tonight we're going to begin to look at God filled. He formed the universe and then he filled it. And we're going to have two parts to this. Tonight we're going to be looking at verse 14 through 23. And next Sunday night we'll finish with verses 24 through 31. And then we'll go into chapter 2, 1 through 3. I might even go a little further on the creation of man and things like that. I don't know yet. But day one, we saw that God created earth and the heaven, the light and time. Day two, we saw that God created water and the sky. And then day three, we saw that God created the plant life. And we're going to talk more about that tonight. So what God formed, he now fills and gets it ready for man's creation. And we saw how God had created three spaces, and now he'll fill the land, fill the seas, and fill the sky. Why are we going through this study? Because we as Christians need to know how to defend the doctrine of creation. We need to know, because it's not being taught in public schools. It's not being taught in a lot of places. So we need to be able to teach our children and our grandchildren how God created in six 24-hour days by just speaking it. Now, we begin tonight in verses 14 through 19. If you see, it's a very complex outline on the screen up there, okay? But we're going to look, first of all, at day four, and then we're going to look at day five. And I'm going to take day six by itself, because there's a lot of things happening on day six. So let's begin to read verses 14 through 19. And those that can, I'm going to ask you to stand again. And we're going to be beginning in verse 14, looking at day four. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. And we remember we told you what that means, let there be. Light be, and there was, in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament in the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. That's kind of like an addendum. You know, I was amazed how God did. Oh, by the way, he made the stars also, you know. And then in verse 17, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And we'll read further when we get down to day five. Father, teach us from your word. We may accurately interpret your scriptures. Your scriptures are the final authority on all matters of faith and practice. It's not by a man. It's not by a church. It's not by a denomination. It's totally by scripture alone. We believe in the five solos that the reformers believed in. Scripture alone, Christ alone, glory of God alone, by faith alone, and I may forget another one, but Lord, we believe that. And so, Father, we pray tonight you teach us from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Day four, God spoke, verse 14. And God said, all through that, God said, it's called divine fiat. God spoke it, he willed it, and he spoke it, and it was. He spoke it, and it instantly happened. He did not. You'll not read chapter 1 and see anything in here about evolution. But what you will see is God's created word out of his mouth. Now, we see that all through the creation days, God speaking and God said, all the way through verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, 26, and 29. But before I go any further, there is a correlation between days 1, 2, and 3 that we studied last week. In days 4 through 6. Now on day 1 he created the light. On day 4 he began to create what we call all the other luminaries. Now remember, God is light, and so you were able to have light before he actually created the planets. Day two, the firmament and the waters below, but on day five, he began to put birds and fish in this firmament. And day three, we saw last week, he created the dry land. And day six, we'll see that he created land creatures along with man. And we'll get to that when we get to day six, exactly how do we explain dinosaurs. Well, God does that for us. So God created two great lights and placed them in the heavens. And our text tells us in verses 14 through 19 that he gave them three great main purposes. Number one, to divide the day from the night, to be for signs, seasons, days, and years, and to give light upon the earth. Now let's look at these three, and we're going to phrase them a little different way. Let's look at these three main purposes. Number one, separation. God separated day from the night in verse 14. God had already separated light from darkness in verse 4, but now he placed three permanent markers, okay? Now that brings us to regulation, markers for signs, seasons, days, and years. They were for the weather, they were for a testimony to his creative work, they were for navigation, they were signs that determined the length of the year, a day or a month, and seasons. Now we know that the Bible does not teach astrology because it's forbidden in Scripture. Can I get an amen there? Amen. So if you're reading the horoscope in your paper, you need to quit because that is preliminary to witchcraft, okay? So you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you know, I'm telling you the truth today, and I wouldn't lie to you. You need to don't read no horoscopes like President Reagan's wife did, okay? I don't make my day by what the paper says in a horoscope, right? And so we know he's not talking about that. So he's talking about signs here, and for navigation and testimony and weather and things like that. And then the third one was illumination. He give light upon the face of the earth. To give light upon the earth, the sun radiates the light, and the moon reflects the light for illumination for the night. Now, these heavenly bodies were never intended to be worshipped today. And you heard in the cultures of the day, they worshipped the sun, they worshipped the moon. Moon worshippers never meant to be worshipped. They were part of God's creation. But man has violated that, isn't he? Man worships the creation rather than the creator, right? And so, therefore, illumination. Let me talk a little bit about the sun and the moon. I looked up some things. I'm not smart enough to know any of these things, but I looked them up and I found some amazing thoughts. The sun, first of all, the sun is a ball of flame that measures 865,000 miles in diameter, which is about 109 times the diameter of the earth. It would take more than a million earths to fill the sun. The surface temperature of the sun is estimated about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And then at the core temperature of the sun, 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Now that would not only burn the crematory, the body, but it'd burn the crematory down and the cemetery, right? That's amazing heat. The earth is about 93 million miles from the sun. Again, one tidbit either way, we'd freeze to death or we would burn up. The light, someone said the light that we see at 6 a.m. left the sun about 5:51 a.m. at your location where you're standing. And then the moon, I found some interesting things about the moon other than the dogs howling at the moon. But the moon circles the earth and completes a full orbit every 27.3 days. The same side of the moon always faces the earth. I didn't know that. The same side of the moon always faces the earth. Now, by me saying I didn't know that does not mean I knew everything else that I'm telling you, okay? All right. The moon controls the oceans, ocean tides by its gravitational pull. Highs and low tides are caused by the earth. The earth bulges slightly both toward and away from the moon, and this affects the water level of the oceans. And by the way, verse 16, he made the stars also. I didn't look up stars, but anybody here happen to know and remember, Caleb, do you happen to remember how many stars there are? Okay, hey, you know, that's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, but, and they're just googobbly bunch, right? That's Greek, for there's many. And I was thinking this week, it would be good to inject right here some of the events of this week, like the Paris Accord. Man, you wouldn't believe the heat that Donald Trump has taken for pulling us out of a non-binding accord with the nations of the world, which was not ratified by Congress, which is just something that President Obama did that we could get out of at any time. Let me tell you something about the Paris Accord. It's all about politics. It's all about liberal politics. It's all about globalism, a move toward globalism. It's all about redistributing wealth across the whole world. Guess what? America gave $1 billion a year to this Paris Accord, and the nations that were really the polluters give zero, right? It's all about wealth distribution and the coming one world government globalism. Now, let me say something right here. I believe that it's all a hoax. I believe that, you know, this is how Al Gore got rich, okay? Al Gore, who believes definitely in global warming, is still flying his planes around the world, okay? The rich have not changed their lifestyle. They want us to go green. They want us to do this. They want us to do that. But they're still living high and mighty on their lifestyles, right? It's all about liberal politics and redistribution of wealth, okay? That's all it is to it. Man will not destroy the planet. Now, we're to be good stewards of the planet, but we don't belong to Save the Earth group, you know? Because let me tell you why. The Bible says that God spoke it into existence, okay? Now, I want you to see this. I want you to hold your thumb here and go over with me to Colossians chapter 1. And it's going to stay right where it's at till God gets ready to move it. Go to Colossians chapter 1, first of all. It's right after around Philippians and Ephesians in the New Testament. And I'm going to read this, and y'all know this, but I'm going to find it. By the way, it takes you a while to go all the way from Genesis over to the Colossians 1. Look in verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. This is one of those Christology passages in the Bible that tells us who Jesus is, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, the dominions, the principalities, or powers, all things created by him and for him. And he is before all things. Now listen to this. And by him all things consist. All things hold together. So not only did he create it with his word, but he holds the planets in their place and everything like it is, earth on its axis, all by the word of his power. Okay? Man will not destroy planet earth. So I want you to tell, when these people come up to you, the tree huggers and all them kind of people come up to you, just tell them about God's created word. Tell them about God's created sustaining word in Colossians 1. And then take them over to 2 Peter. Go with me to 2 Peter. It's right after 1 Peter and right after 1 John and all that stuff. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now I won't tell you when this earth is going to be destroyed. Right out of the scriptures, right here. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, here he's talking about seeing all these things are going to be destroyed. What kind of people should we be and how should we live? Okay? Now look in verse 12 of 2 Peter 3, verse 12. Now this is the verse you use on these people, okay? Of course, if they don't believe the Bible, ain't much you can do with them. Looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be melt with fervent heat. God will destroy this planet when he sets up the renewed heavens and earth, okay? All these are at the end of time. All these are in prophecy, close to Revelation chapter 20, the new heavens and the new earth. He and he alone will destroy this planet, okay? Y'all see that? Now, there's more we could say about that, but go back with me now to Genesis chapter 1. I just wanted to get that out of my crawl this week. But there was another, these are all for signs here. He made the stars also to give visible reminder of God's power and God's majesty and God's glory. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. See, God, everybody knows there's a God because of creation, because of their conscience, and because of Christ. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalms 8, 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moons and stars which thou hast ordained, the work of thy fingers, God did speak it into existence. This is a figure of speech for God being personally involved in his creation, okay? Now let's go to day 5. You're back at Genesis chapter 1. Look in verse 20. I've got some more good things I want to share with you here. Look in verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, great living creatures that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Notice that. The waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And every winged fowl after its kind. In other words, after its species. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. So we know that God blessed man and told Adam and Eve to multiply, but here he blesses his created beings in the sea and in the land, tells them to be fruitful and to multiply. Okay? Now notice verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. 6 24-hour creative days. Okay? On day 2, God created the firmament. Now he fills it with birds and fish. On day 5, he populates the seas and the sky. Psalms 104, verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches, so is this great and wide sea, wherein all are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beast. Also, look in verse 21, if you will, in your text. God created the marine animals. Look at that. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth. Job refers to the Leviathan, which what we believe might be like a dinosaur that lives in the sea. This, you know, the big fish and things like that. And the waters and everything after its kind. The winged fowl after its kind and his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, notice here that in verse 21, God created the marine animals and the birds on the same day. Now, that's important because you can't have evolution. You can't have a fish becoming a bird, right? They tell us that evolution has claimed that birds evolved from reptiles and took millions of years. Well, it all happened right here on day 5, okay? Nothing was transmitted from one stage to another. A cat was a cat, a dog was a dog, a fish was a fish, a reptile was a reptile, and nothing was going from one species to another. That does not happen. God created each and every living creature and plant with its DNA in it for reproduction. Okay? Now notice verse 20. Go back to verse 20. I want to show you something else here. We created the birds. Look at that. And fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Now notice that. He created the birds to fly in the sky. Okay? Notice here again in verse 20. Birds did not learn how to fly. When God created them, they were flying across the sky. Right? They didn't evolve from anything else. They were created as birds and they were flying across the sky. God created them to fly. Right? Remember, the answers are in Genesis. Right? Now notice verse 22. God blesses everything that he had made, And by the way, this is the first time we see that in Scripture. God blessed his creation. And God blessed them to reproduce abundantly. God, you know, also blessed Adam and Eve, Genesis 1:28, 5:2. He blessed the Sabbath day, and he blessed Noah and his family in Genesis 9:2. But they were created first, then God gave the ability for them to reproduce. There is no transmission or mutation of species. God gave them the ability to reproduce. Y'all see that in Scripture, right? You know, don't worry about, again, y'all know this. Leastways us in South Georgia didn't come from a monkey, right? And all these drawings, Caleb, that you see in school, all those are man-made and made to deceive your mind, brother. Man, you see the progression where man was crawling, next thing he's up walking straight. No, Adam walked straight the day he was created on day 6, right? And so it's all a hoax, it's all a lie. Anything that comes out of the world is not true, okay? All right, so evolution says they transmitted and mutated from a lesser life form, and evolved. But, some of you that are farmers, you can have oranges or tangerines, and you can make them different things, but they're still in that same family. You know, they don't cross that kind, or they don't cross that species, right? Tangelos, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Y'all, they come up with different names. I don't know how they come and cross-pollinate and come up with these plants, but it's still an orange, you know, it's still a fruit. I mean, still a vegetable, right? And I didn't know this till the other day. I mean, y'all are liable to say I'm ignorant, but I always thought peanut was a nut. Peanut's not a nut. It's a fruit. It's a vegetable because it grows underground. Okay? Boy, I see you look on your face now, man. Hey, see, I learned something tonight. I think our pastors are going off for the rocker tonight now. John Deere commercials. All right, well, you look it up. Peanut is not a nut. Okay. Huh? Yeah, it's a vegetable. Okay, thank you. I got two verifications over here. All right. Okay, y'all going to go against my wife and Frank? Okay. All right. So, peanut. Next time you go to the store and buy a little bowl of peanuts, just tell them peanuts is not a nut. And they'll say, clean up on aisle 5, you know? I mean, you know? But anyway, so this is creation. Now, next week, we're going to look at the crown of God's creation. We're going to look at when dinosaurs were created. We're going to look at when man was created. And God's got the earth all ready for man to be created, you know? It's amazing. It's a lie of the devil, folks. Evolution? No, I am a young earth creationist. I believe that God created in 6 24-hour days, and the earth is no older than 6 to 8,000 years old. It was 4004 B.C. is when creation came, okay? In the beginning, God created. So don't drink the Kool-Aid, right? Don't believe the lie, you know? You are the crown of God's creation. You are not a higher form of animal. You are the crown of God's creation, okay? All right. Brother Marcus and Miss Wanda, if you'll come. You don't play the piano, do you, Patricia? Okay. So you come in her place, and we're going to have a hymn of invitation tonight. If you'd like to make a decision for Christ public, I'd like to come to this altar. The altar is open. And whatever you want to do business with God, tonight's the time to do that, okay?
All right, before we get your hymn book, let's turn to page 247. Page 247. Let's stand, please. Jesus is tender.